Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain for the Republics for the United States of America. I want to thank you for being here. You know, we've been talking in our pre-call about some of the challenges going on, and I will clean it up a little bit from what I first said, but you'll get the gist of it. And working with several people in different calls and prayer calls weekly, we are involved with multiple calls during the week, sometimes two or three a day, sometimes more than that, dealing in the warfare that we're all going through. And I equated it to one man who's just starting to experience the warfare. He's gone through threats. He's gone through challenges, financial and situations that most of us would never even imagine. And I said, well, I can equate it to this. I said, the enemy's making his last stand. And I said, I used to call it shotgunning. He's come out with birdshot, and he's just shooting out everywhere trying to hit something because he really doesn't know what to shoot at. I said, but it's more like in the north, hornets nest in the ground. And in the springtime, they start coming up, just like in the south, you have a candidus hatch about every 10 years. And thousands upon thousands of candidus, and they're pretty big, you know, flying bugs that make a lot of noise, hatch, and they come out of the ground. You'll see a hole about the size of your thumb, and also bumblebees and stuff will use those. And in the north, you have the, you know, because of the snow and the cold weather, they'll actually go in and hibernate, and then they'll hatch and come out. And if you happen to have the misfortune of stepping on them, you're better off standing there and trying to get a stick and poke down in a hole till you can run than it is to deal with them, because they'll chase you. In the south, there's fire ants, and fire ants were brought up from South America, actually on in fruit and other things, and they spread across the south. And you can go to I drove by a pasture 2 days ago, and everything started turning green up in Dallas, and I could see no less than 500 hills in that 10-acre pasture. And every hill's got multiple thousands upon thousands of fire ants and queens, okay, in those hills. And they're called fire ants because when they bite you, it feels like somebody stuck a match to your skin. And I says, what's happened is that's what the enemy's doing. We have kicked over the hordes of the fire ants and the hornets, and they're coming out attacking everything they can, and they're always going to go after your weakest link first. Or they'll come after you, and then they'll go after the weakest link if they see they can't have any success. And that weakest link could be your children, your wife, your husband, your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, your friends, your business. So it's not surprising that what goes on, okay, at all. Because, you know, Peter said, don't be surprised, my brother, or why are you surprised at the fiery trials among you? Because of all the challenges, because the enemy hates us with a passion. And if he doesn't hate you, you're not doing something right. you're not messing with him. And it's better to have him hate you and face that what you've got to do rather than walk in thinking you've got it all together and you're practicing religion and you dance yourself straight into hell because you never had a relationship and never truly got saved. So, you know, I've grown accustomed to the battle over the years. John and I have been doing this particular call. I think we were talking the other day. What was it? Is this the 12th year, John? I think it is. That
12 or 14?
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's right. It was in 12 when we started it, wasn't it? So 12, 10, 12. Well, no, that's about right.
But we had some of them in 10, too, because I've got some from 10 as well. So.
And Roger and Geiger, the ones that started this, and the Lord said, turn it over to this portion to me and the group. And we took a different direction because the Lord told us to. And what we experienced today and the calendar, you know, was the big thing. They started a calendar, and that's what was turned over. But, you know, when the Lord said to start this, Bruce and Linda were heading up a prayer group. We were heading up a prayer group. We had in-home church. We had all these things, and God called us to do this. Well, along the way, every one of us have experienced incredible warfare, recognizing that we have stirred up the enemy. Well, I tell you what, if you can keep him stirred up, you have a better chance of taking him out than he's got taking you out. So fight the good fight, do that which we have to do, and destroy the work of the enemy. Now, Matt can't be here tonight. Matt had guests tonight, but also he called me and he says, wait, I got to back off a little bit because we're on three different calls a week on different things. And we'd already backed down Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 2:30 to about 4 to just Wednesday. And then we communicate and other calls plus, you know, plus our call here, plus what we call an ascension unto the Lord. We're going to keep some of the things up, but in a meeting, and I'm going to read to you what he asked me to share. And I'm going to start off with this because of where we're going tonight. And I think you'll totally appreciate it. He says, this has been the most spiritual turbulent week that he's experienced in years. He says, last night, which was Tuesday night when he experienced, you know, he did this last week and then we dealt with it run through. He said, we have somebody that we know that is empathetic. She literally groans in the spirit when the Lord shows stuff. And she was sick. She was so, you know, what was going on. And the Lord showed them that the path is narrowed. And it's like we're running down the road on a freeway in Texas, 65 means 85. If you don't know that down here, I mean, because there's so much open space. And like other states may let you do that. But we moved down the freeway in this part of the world. And you ran into a two-lane road because you had four lanes on each side. And now you're down to one on each side. And he says, so the Lord said the path is narrowed. And the path is narrowed because the enemies come out and it's time to do some things. And we said, okay, Lord, what is it that you're telling us that we're supposed to do? And the Lord said, for a season now, he says, don't take on any more powers and principalities, anything other than what I've given you permission and told you to do right now. He says, I want you to go in and shut the doors where those swarms or hordes are coming through. He says, we're going to do this tonight. He says, I want you to pray to shut down pathways, portals, open doors in families, TV, internet, phone, the things that we allow our kids and we ourselves get involved in, to shut down the powers, principalities, rules of wickedness, and those things in spiritual, you know, the heavenlies that are coming like the hordes of the bees or the fire ants that are coming to attack the saints because the path is narrowed and now people are really going to have to pay attention and walk according to it. And this is the thing. He said, just like we've been talking about, Wade, he says, it's time to repent. And this coming up eclipse that so much has been talked about, it's in the calendar, and now you've probably all seen, if you're anywhere on social media, the numbers of pages, and I didn't bring anything with me right here, but it's intense. It is pages upon pages on pages. Maybe I have one right here in my briefcase about what the significance is and what they think is going to happen. And then Dave Mook with Republic and others have posted some intel about where we are on this eclipse that the black hats intend to do some red flags. They now announced today was they expect closing of airports for up to 2-3 days, air traffic. Why is the question. Okay. And that martial law may actually go into force, that communications could be knocked out, that electromagnetic frequencies could be affected, and you go, why? It's an eclipse. We've had plenty of eclipses along the way in time, and they said, you know, so the question becomes, why is it now? Why are you saying all this is going to happen? And, you know, again, we'll go into this in another week or so in preparation. But if you look back at one of the past eclipses, which was in 2017, it came from the northwest down through the south. And here's the primary cities that it crossed: Salem, Oregon, Salem, Idaho, Salem, Wyoming, Salem, Nebraska, Salem, Missouri, Salem, Kentucky, Salem, South Carolina. Seven times. Seven. Okay. And this time, the third eclipse, which is creating John,
all of the top.
Yeah, there we go.
So before you go any further, Wade,
yeah,
just give me a half second here. We need to do this now.
Okay. Glory, glory. Lord, let the trumpet sound. So I'm not going to go into too much depth in this because it's coming up, and I do have this printed right here. But the one that happened before that, okay, on the heels of it came massive flooding. That was started in Houston, Louisiana, and went right on up. And this time, the next one that came across, you know, through Salem's, the fires broke out in Northern California, Oregon, Utah, Colorado, Texas, right on down through, okay? And this time, it starts with Jonah, Texas, okay? Jonah, Texas, really? And then it hits Memphis, which was an Egyptian, you know, major city where many of the pyramids were. And then it hits Little Egypt, and then it hits Nineveh, Texas, Nineveh, Missouri, Nineveh, Indiana, Nineveh, Ohio, Nineveh, Pennsylvania, Nineveh, Virginia, Nineveh, New York, Nineveh, Nova Scotia, which is just outside the U.S. But it runs across seven times in Nineveh. And you sit there and go, there's a whole lot more to this than what we're looking at. So almost every major prophet has said something about this right now. But that's not our primary focus tonight. But you need to start looking and saying, what is the Lord saying right now? Why did one of our key people say the Lord has said, pull aside and shut the doors? Okay? Shut the doors. The Lord's pulled him aside and another group aside just to pray, just to seek. He says, close the doors and seek him first. Well, what does the Lord say all the time? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, the Lord has been hitting me upside the head with this for years, and it got even stronger this past 6 to 8 months. And Francis said, you know, what did the Lord tell you? Seek ye first the kingdom. So it's all been all about the kingdom. And many of you know Jim Gregory, who's a dear friend in the ministry, comes on once in a while, also contributes to the calendar. He's one of those pastors that we pray with on a regular basis. And, you know, him and I have both been pounding this since 2010. It's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. I've even said to high-ranking political people, get over the fact of the Democratic and Republican Party. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not about what you think. And it shocked a couple of people. But, you know, so we are at the time when the Lord says, seek ye first and repent. He says, what is the message that I'm showing? I said, it's repentance, Lord. It's, you know, Jonah was called the people of Nineveh to repent. He says, I'm calling people of the United States to repent, because what is the next thing that came in this series of events that come? I said, all right, we had fire and we had flood. I said, next thing is earthquakes and diverse things in the skies, signs in the skies. And then it came out, what's called the Devil's Comet is passing the earth. And at the time of the eclipse, when it gets the darkest, it's dark for 4 minutes. And you know, it's not pitch black, but it gets dark. You'll be able to see in certain parts of the country with your naked eye the comet and the tail of the comet crossing through the universe. It's only 100,000. It's 100 million miles, but that's pretty close as far as comets go. And it also crossed when Jonah, the historian show, what I've been told, I haven't read it myself, but I've been told it crossed when Jonah was told to go get Nineveh to repent. And so it's called the Devil's Comet because all hell breaks loose when that comet goes through, because the Luciferians and all those will do what we call false flags, but they go into worship and their thing. And they cause all kinds of problems. So as we go forward and pray, we're going to pray about some of these things tonight. We're going to repent tonight. It's going to be a time of repentance in our prayers. I want you all to keep that in mind when we call on you to prayer. And then looking even in the calendar, and God, you know, the way the Lord does this, it's if you keep up with all this intel, if you look at Elijah's streams every day, if you go to the prophets every day, you can get everything that we do except the personal things that we write in-house and the covers and the things that I write and John and everybody contributes to. And that is this, okay? We're in a time and season where God is saying it's time to do two things. And part of our prayer group and April and Sharon and others know this, is that I tell people all the time, you do not take on a principality or a power or an out-of-body spirit unless the Lord tells you to. You get permission. Otherwise, you're taking on, you might think you got the right and the authority. He's given us all power over all authority and all authority over every power, principality, rule, wickedness, high places. You know, we can go into Luke and 10:19. We can go into a lot of different places and find that, but he still required them to pray about it. David had that position and authority, but he had to pray about going to attack the enemy and recovering all. He could have gone out there and got destroyed, but that wasn't God's plan. God wants you to be in sync with him so you get permission. So right now in dreams, people are seeing Anita Alexander, which is was Saturday's word in the calendar, talked about the axe being laid to the root of Jezebel. Well, we, as a certain prayer team, were dealing with powers and principalities. We went after the delayer. Everybody was saying, no more delay, no more delay. And I said, Lord, what's wrong? He says, nobody went after the root. I said, what's the root? He says, it's called the delayer. So we went after it, got permission. I wouldn't let anybody come and pray on it until they all got permission from the Lord. We went after it. We had great breakthroughs for a week and a half, and then things went back to where they were. And I said, what went wrong? He said, you didn't occupy. I said, what do you mean occupy? He said, you didn't put anybody back there praying, nor any of the angels there. You just pressed through and kept on going. You have to occupy. So right now, Anita was talking about dealing with the Jezebel spirit. Now, Jim Gregory has got a big thing. He says, if you don't take on something the Lord doesn't tell you to take on, because they might already be locked down. They might already be chained or in lockdown. And by honoring it, by taking it on, you open the door again. So if you're going to take on Jezebel, you're going to take on Baal. And Baal's not, none of them are by themselves. They have, like those fire ants and hornets, they have hordes, untold thousands, millions of fallen ones that are with them in that, that are assigned to them, because they have generals. Their kingdom is set up just like the kingdom of God, because they try to mirror it. It's just they only have power and authority where we give it to them. So don't give it to them. So tonight we're going to take on that. And the war, and really, and Anita said this, the war is at the altar. And it's over the altar. When the Lord told me I was going to be a prayer warrior, I was 14 years old, first time I ever heard his voice. He says, I was watching a television evangelist, an old big block, black and white box TV, and he says, you're going to do that. And I went, really? He said, I want you to do that. I said, okay, I'll do that. You're going to have to take me to that point. All right, I'm going to be a warrior. And it took me years to understand your battles are fought on your knees and on your face. They're fought in the kingdom and the kingdom courts. And then you win them there, you win them here, because they're already won. You just have to line up and agree with the Lord and agree with his word. Sharon is big about this. Watch your words. Okay, so when we take on these principalities and powers, when we take on things, if you've been given permission in the courts, then you do that. You do that thing. But the Lord, you need to check and make sure that you're where you need to be. And then this weekend, we entered Purim. A lot of people go, Purim, wow, how important it was. And the Feast of Esther coming up, and that which the Lord is saying that right now in the season that we're in, we need to celebrate the victory over that. Back then it was the Persian Empire. Today it's over the Luciferian Empire. We celebrate the victory. It might not seem like you have it. We were talking earlier, before many of you came on the call, about the challenges some of us are going through. That doesn't mean you don't thank the Lord and celebrate that you already got the victory. It might look like it's the darkest night. Everything's screwed up. Everything's gone to hell. The enemy's winning, and the Lord says, no, I've already won the battle. Thank me. And I'll be honest with you. When you're in the middle of alligators up to your neck and water moccasins in the swamp, it's hard to thank the Lord, but he says, thank me. And at times, we feel like we're one of those people. So when we come against a strong man, have the Lord rebuke you. You know, Michael did not rebuke Lucifer. He said, the Lord rebuke you. All right. Well, he knew his position. We have the right and authority. But know your position in that fight. You know, I've never minded a fight. I just want to know I got a chance to win it when I walk in and that I know what I'm doing. So we are in a situation, the Lord said, and this was the word from Matt, close doors. Don't open any doors right now for a few weeks. Don't take on anything that he doesn't tell you to take on, and only go in and shut the doors, shut down the portal, shut anything that allows the enemy to come in, to come against you, your family, your loved ones, your work, that which you're doing, because God gave us a destiny. And as we experienced, and you heard us talk about last week, I mentioned it and others have mentioned it. We literally, Steve was there, Sharon was there, John was there, I was there, Matt was there. We sat at the table where destinies of nations are written. And he said, and the Lord said, your destiny is determined by how you pray during the journey. Are you paying attention? Are you surrendered to me? Don't let the enemy come and open doors and bring judgment and attacks upon you that are unnecessary. So when you get in between, you get in that place, and it's called a rock and a hard place, and this was today's word, Kathy Pelton. But she's not bringing the word today, but, you know, Roger is. We have to understand that as long as the Lord lives, we have the right, okay, and the position and the power and the authority. But when the enemy comes like a flood, he said he would raise up a standard, but we surrender unto him and give him thanks in the midst of the flood. Because he said, you're qualified to receive the favor of the Lord because you have put your faith in me, says the Lord. And once again, turn all of your dependence alone to me. I'm separating my children from every false dependency and hope. Your strengths, your giftings, your abilities to make your own way will not provide the way forward. We're going to have to rely on him. And you've heard me preach it in the past. When he says turn right, you better turn right. Or left, you turn left. Or he says stop, or you do this, you better do it, because the path is narrowed now. The enemy's come in swarming, and the path is narrow that we walk on. And if you look to the right or to the left, when the Lord says press on, then we get distracted, like Peter on the water. Peter could have gone out there and danced on that water. But he looked around and he saw the waves instead of Yeshua. Keep your eyes on the Lord, because he says, I am the waymaker. I am the one. My grace is sufficient for you in the midst of every storm and trial and that you have right now. I am there for you. I Paul said, I delight in my weakness and insults, hardships, persecution, difficulties. For when I am weak, he is strong in me. So we're at a time in a season where we're going to have to press forward and understand that the hordes have been released, and that to keep from getting stung, we have to walk straight with the Lord on the narrow path, and don't go swatting at them. I tell my wife all the time, bees flying around you, don't swat at it. You know, don't give it a reason. And I said, you know, if you're supposed to kill it, we'll kill it. But if the enemy comes in, then you be sure that you're in line with the Lord, surrendered unto him, and you ask him, what is it that you want me to do? Do I pursue? Do I close the door? And right now, I believe Matt was 100% right. Close the door. So, Father, we come in the name of Yeshua, by the blood of Yeshua. I've laid a foundation this day, Lord, this night. And even though we're going to be talking about wars and times and seasons through Roger and Enoch and John and with David, and we're going to pray it, Lord, we come to submit to you that we'd walk the narrow path. Lord, you've made a way, and the way is going to be glorious. We're going to see breakthroughs that we never imagined ever before. And now is the time. This is the season. And we are looking forward to pressing through to receive the reward for the goal, for crossing the finish line, for doing that which you said to do. And in that, people will see, know, and understand that you are with us and your favor is with us, and that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the Word, and you're glorified in it. And I thank you for that. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Glory, glory. That took longer than I normally do, but I just wanted to lay some things out for you. You know, I respect you all. And I respect those of you that write and bring words and prophecies. And there's some that can't be here tonight for, you know, many reasons, you know, that we're always looking for to hear, to see what, you know, see what God's showing them. And there's many of you that are regulars that are here all the time. Even in times of challenge, you're here, and that's greatly appreciated. You're going to be given a stone called faithful. I can tell you that God is, because he's counted you as faithful. But we're in a time now where we need to understand not just the line upon line, precept upon precept. We need to understand the stories of the Word of God. What is it based on? How did this happen? What is God saying? How did it affect the people back then, and how is it affecting us now? So that's one of the things you learn in Bible school. What was written? What did it mean then? What does it mean now? What does it mean to you? And somebody that I dearly love, he's a great storyteller, ties the word in, is Roger Lee Waters. And Roger, his testimony alone is greater than most people could ever imagine in their lives. And it's always a privilege to have him here. And he's one of the founders of the works that we're all doing. So, Roger, bring us a powerful word tonight, sir.
Well, thank you, Wade. Before I get started, just let me say, the worst thing Satan could ever come up with was called a record button, because we can record things like this and everybody hear it. So his little game never works out for him in the end. So, well, everybody, it's a pleasure to be here. What I'm going to do tonight, a little bit different than I normally do. After I had my ordeal back in 95, and I began to really search the Word, and as I've said before, all I wanted was to know this God's name. And oh, when he opens your eyes and begins to show you things, look out, the barn isn't big enough to put it all. And that's when I discovered the book of Enoch. This book, when I first read it, I read it twice in one day. I could not believe what I read. The information that I'm going to give you comes from the book of Enoch. There are many people in the church world that say, well, it's not canonized. Yeah, well, neither is the book of Jasher, but maybe we ought to read that one sometime too. Because Christ referenced Enoch, so did Paul, so did Peter. So if they referenced it, they read it, they understood it, and they taught it. There's a reason. So here goes. After the war was over, all the ones on the winning side stood and watched in disbelief that some of the ones that chose to go on the other side were still here, still standing. The evil ones had chose to march with Gadriel, their leader. He and others, while on the earth, took an oath with each other and had chosen to disrupt what the Creator had put together in order pertaining to the laws of nature. Others and I had to stand up and war against them every single eon of our existence. They took the daughters of man and created a group that the Creator had given special gifts to and made sure that they were created in His image and with a special makeup that we did not have. Ours was a different type of makeup. Ours was made up to exist in a timeless vacuum, while theirs was made up to exist on a planet called Earth, with air, water, land, trees, and yes, a spirit that came from the Creator. And when he breathed it into the first man, there was one man that came from the line of the first, his seventh, called Enoch, who was as close to the Creator than any before him. And he would walk in those days with the Creator and talk with him, commune with him. And the Creator told him to write down what he said, and he did. And there was a record of all that happened before the great day of death was to come. The Creator had sent some of his heavenly warriors to the earth to watch over and to guard the planet and all that were on it and in it. There were those that were on it before the ruddy man was created because of the offspring of the first, which the earthlings called Cain, murdered his brother and was sent out from the first, and his helpmate lived. And he went to a land they called Nod, to the east of where the first and his helpmate lived. Nod was a place for the wandering souls that have no place to go, that they were separated from us. And this is why the Creator sent the 200 to the earth to watch out and protect the created ones that the Creator loves so much. But when they did what they were told not to do, which was eat the fruit from just one tree, in which Gadriel had talked with the first one's helpmate about, and she did eat, and then so did the first created eat. And the Creator had no choice but to banish them from their place, which was perfection. The Creator cannot allow any imperfections to be where perfection is, and thus they had to leave. So Cain was banished to Nod and took a wife. Now some would say that that is all in one's head. But there was another band of what they called people not far from where they lived, and Nod was all that was left. Time went on, and generation after generation came, and there was a time when the seven generations came and sat together around the fire. And the first spoke to the last, and the last wrote the things he was commanded to write. And the generations that would follow had a record of all that happened through his writings. But one day, as the world was populated, those 200 decided through an oath that they would take an oath to one another to take the human daughters and mate with them and create offspring that would one day rule the entire planet. This was done over the years of the sixth generation, the days of what they call Jared. All those 200 agreed that by an oath to one another, they would not abandon the plan to do this thing. They all swore an oath to each other while they all stood on what would become Mount Hermon, because that was the place of their oath, one to another. Their leaders of the 200 were in all agreement, and from that day onward were banished from the heavens. They were Semenaz, their leader, Erechabah, Ramil, Tokabel, Samil, Ramael, Danil, Ezekiel, Barakajah, Ishah, Armaso, Batarel, Anadal, Ithiel, Sampapil, Satriel, Turo, Jamjeo, and Thariel. These are the chiefs of the 10. All the others together with them took unto themselves wives, and each chose for one himself. And they began to go into them and to defile themselves with them. And they taught them charms and enchantments and the cutting of the roots. And they made them acquainted with the plants. And they became pregnant. And they bore great giants whose weight was and height was about 1,000 ells, who consumed all the acquisitions of men. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. And they began to sin against the birds, the beasts, and the reptiles and fish, and to devour one another's flesh and to drink the blood. Then the earth laid accusation against the lawless ones. It was Azazel that taught men to make swords, knives, and shields, breastplates, and the metal of the earth. It was Samjaza who taught them enchantments, root cuttings. Amaros taught the resolution and enchantments. Barakajael taught astrology. Takabel, all about the constellations. Ezekiel, the knowledge of the clouds. Arachiel, the signs of the earth. Shamsiel, the signs of the sun. And Sariel, the course of the moon. And as men perished, they cried into heaven. Then I, Uriel, Raphael, and Michael looked down from heaven and saw so much blood being shed, lawlessness and evil, and the planet made cries of their voices to the gates of heaven. The souls of the created beings brought their causes before the Most High and said, Thy name is the Most Holy, which has made all things and has power over all things, and all things are within your sight, and nothing can hide itself from you. You've seen what Azazel has done, who has taught all men, has been done with unrighteousness on the planet, and has revealed the eternal secrets which were preserved only for the heavenlies and the others and what they have done. Jazmeazah, to whom you gave the authority over the other 199 with rule, they have made an oath and gone into the daughters of men on the planet and slept with them, defiled themselves, and has revealed all their sin. They then born giants. As the 200, their genetics and inward components were mixed with the human components inside and changed their components to be different than what you have created. What you created is about gone, except for just one family. The Creator became angry, sent Uriel to the son of Lamech, Noah, and told him to go hide himself and reveal to him the end that is approaching, that the entire planet will be destroyed. There will be a deluge, a flood, about to come upon the whole planet. And tell him he can escape upon the earth, he and his seed, that he and all the families afterwards may be preserved. Then he told Raphael, bind Azazel hand and foot, and cast him into the darkness, and make an opening in the desert, which is Dedeo, and cast him therein. Place upon him rough and jagged rocks, and cover him with darkness, and let him abide forever, and cover his face, that he cannot see any light. And upon the great day of judgment, he shall be cast into the fire. Now go and heal the planet, which they have corrupted, and proclaimed the healing of the planet, that they may heal the plague, that all the children of the men may not perish through all the things the 200 watchers have disclosed and have taught their sons. Then the Creator said to Gabriel, proceed against the offspring and the reprobates and against the children of fornication and destroy them, the children of the watchers from amongst my created ones, and sent them one another, that they may destroy each other in battle, for they have no length of days, and no request from their fathers shall be granted. For they hope to have eternal life, and each of them will live 500 years. Then he told Michael to go and bind Samjaz and all his associates who have united themselves with the daughters of the created ones and who have defiled them with all uncleanness. And when their sons have slain one another and they have seen the destruction of their beloved ones, bind them for 70 generations in the valleys of the planet till the judgment that is forever and ever is consummated. And they shall be led to the prison in which they shall be confined forever. Then the Creator spoke to Enoch. Fear not, Enoch, thou righteous man and scribe of righteousness. Approach here and listen to my voice, and go and say to the watchers of heaven, who have sent you to intercede for them, wherefore have you left the high, holy, and eternal heaven and laid with the daughters of the created and defiled themselves with them and taken them wives? And have you done like the children of the planet and had sons and daughters? You were holy and spiritual beings, having eternal life. But you have defiled yourselves with the blood of women and had children with them of flesh, like the children of those on the planet do. They were created to live forever and to be upright in righteousness, but they also sinned. And now because you have done this thing, your children are also corrupted to be condemned. I have created them to have wives and bear children, but they were not eternal as you were. You were formerly spirit beings, and therefore I have not appointed wives for you. Now, as the giants are concerned, who are produced from the spirits of the flesh, and they shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, because they were born from men and the holy watchers. They shall be called evil spirits when they die. So this planet shall be their dwelling place, which they will afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, and work destruction on the planet and cause trouble. They will take no food, but still hunger and thirst, and cause offenses against the created ones on this planet, because they came from a created one's body. And thus they will seek to re-inhabit themselves once again into the bodies of the created ones. I watched all this take place, and I knew that the entire world would need to be destroyed because of what these fallen 200 did. Now I also have heard that there was a rebellion in heaven, and that there was those who took the war with the Creator. But that didn't actually happen until after the woman in the sky gave birth to a king. Up until that time, evil spirits roamed this planet until a great thing happened. I notified a woman on this planet by way of Gabriel that a child was to be born through her womb, and that I was to plant the seed. And she gave call his, and he shall call his name Yeshua. He was going to be the very Son of the Highest, the only begotten Son. And he shall also be called the Son of Adam, because he will make right what Adam destroyed. And in the law of the heavens, only the offspring of one can make things right again. On earth's time, this baby boy was born in 4 BC, and he was circumcised on his eighth day, and then bled no more until the appointed time, Passover of the year 29 AD. Before he died then, he told his followers that he would return. But after, it was just like the days of Noah, which I have already described to you. He did die, and he laid in the ground as a seed to be planted. And while his body was laid there behind the rolled stone, His eternal spirit carried all the sin of the world into the depths of the underworld, where there is paradise, with a great gulf fixed between the two sides. He blew past the guards and laid the sins before the evil one and said, "This belongs to you." Then grabbed the authority of hell and death and left to be joined with his body once again, which was transformed into a spiritual body. He then rose with all authority of heaven and this planet called Earth. He took authority over all things and was given a name above all names and screamed into the heavens, and I quote, "I am the one that was dead, and I am alive forevermore." But what about this thing as it was in the days of Noah? Next time I write, I will tell you about that. And that will be when I tell you what to look for. For the time is now upon you. And if you do not sleep on the job, you will see the glory of the one who lives forever. We call him Master, King, and Creator. You call him Savior, Healer, and the King above all kings. Father, we as your children come to you. We cry sometimes. We hurt. We're angry sometimes. And you sit there and you listen to us. And it's like you put your hands on our shoulders and put your head next to ours. And you tell us it'll be okay. You've given us a word with scripture that we can quote. I firsthand know what it is to take the healing scriptures and speak it out loud daily. I understand what you meant by the angels gaining strength listening to the word. But that word comes out of my mouth. It comes out of the human's mouth. It doesn't come out of your mouth. We are the ones that need to speak it. We're the ones that need to declare it. We're the ones that have to initiate the first step in our faith walk. We cannot do anything without you, but you require us to stand in your presence, on your word, with our sword drawn and our shield up, prepared for battle. No victory can come unless there's a battle to be fought. The victory has already been established. Your son did it in the depths of hell 2,000 years ago. But on our time scale, on this planet, it's just now coming to a close. And Father, we declare by the word of the living God that everyone that is sick because of the enemy is not just going to be healed, but is healed. Because your word declares your people need to be strong and mighty. Your word declares to us that we have a Savior and that his blood was shed. He had your blood, Father, in his veins, and that blood covers us, your children. Now, we've been instructed tonight, Father, to close doors and not open them. Sometimes we don't understand why. All we know is when the command is given, we go forth and fulfill the command. We've been through training a long time, Father. We've been in boot camp. We've been in classroom. We've been all over the place learning what you want us to learn. For those who thought that, well, that day will never come, it's here. For those of us that listened, that took notes, that walked the walk and talked the talk, the day has come for us to finally use what we learned. Father, as one individual here that knows how you can heal and how you can deliver and how you can bring people back together again. It makes no difference to you. It's the heart of the person that has to want it. We pray, Father, for the people of this nation, because there's a lot of people out there that they think they're just okay, and they're not. I used to play that game looking like I was a real good Christian boy, carried my Bible so everybody knew it was a Bible, taught Sunday school, wore the right clothes, spoke all the right words, hung out with all the right people. And I didn't have anything that was worthwhile of having. I carried around the form of godliness, and I denied the power. And when that event took place in my life, you gave me a second chance. And the day I opened my eyes after my operation, you asked me, I'm giving you a second chance. What are you going to do with it? And Father, I am so glad I chose you. I had to ask for forgiveness. What else was I supposed to do in a hospital bed on life support? I couldn't move. But you know what? They told me I would never walk. I'm walking. They even told me I wouldn't live. I died once on the operating table for about 5 minutes. And guess what? You showed them doctors who's in charge. You brought me back. So, Father, I know personally how you handle things. And we are sitting here tonight on this conference call, Father, and we're not requesting the enemy to go away. We're demanding he go away. We are your children, and we have nothing to do with him. And he has no right to be here. We're covered with your son's blood, and we carry his word. But if need be, Father, we're willing to fight. We're willing to fight the spiritual fight that even your son had to go through, because we know in the end who wins. We're victorious, Father, because your son is victorious, and we're heirs right along with him. And Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, for all the people around the world that listen to this, that read the calendars. We thank you for the souls that have been saved. But there's a lot more to go. And we ask, Father, for the mercy and the grace that you shed upon us, that you shed upon others until they've had the chance to repent. We say that in the name of Yeshua, because he is the name above all names. He has all power and all authority. And we love you, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. John Rockwell's got a word that ties in, and you'll see how you can't plan this, folks, and it just fell together. What's going on right now, and what Roger had given me 3 weeks ago to put in at this time, and it just ties in. The Book of Enoch, so many people ignore it, but if you go back and get the original manuscripts, you will see how much has been taken out and how much the Lord gave the background knowledge that the popes and the leaders did not want the public to know. Matter of fact, Tyndale and several others they gave their lives to print the word. And, we are blessed today to have it, but you need to pull it all together. Great story out of the Book of Enoch. John, I know you got some great things for us. Bless us. And he's also going to do communion, and then we're going to make some prayer declarations at the very end. John Rockwell.
All right. Thank you, Wade. And good evening, everybody. You want to do communion after I'm finished with mine, or you want to do it at the very end?
I think you should do it at the end when you're finished. No, when you're finished, not at the end of prayer.
Okay, yeah. Okay. That's right. Okay, I just wanted to be clear. So what I'm going to do, kind of follow along what Wade opened with, and a person that is dear to me in Scripture is David, and of course what he did with his music. I'm not going to really go into that tonight because of a different direction, but a different facet of David's life. And I think I'm going to start off with a prayer of his in song in just a moment. But we need to be embracing the appointed hour, which is now, and our call to unity worship and divine anointing is where we are at. And again, like I said, I've really delved into King David quite a bit and what he's done with his music and other things as well. And kind of what I want to focus in on tonight is how quickly he came to repentance, and I'm going to specifically talk about his sin with Bathsheba in just a moment. But I think I need to start off with one of his prayers, which is Psalm 23. And I've taken the song and reconverted it, or actually converted it to the 444 hertz frequency. And so I'm going to play that first, and then I'm going to go into David and his repentance after that.
My head the dust with oil and wine, and my cup of
Father, I just thank you for David and his music and his life as a whole, because you said in your scripture that he was a man after your own heart, but he wasn't perfect, and we understand that. We just praise you for him, or at least I do, and thank you for giving him as an example to us in your scriptures in Yeshua's name. Kind of what I want to start with, we're familiar with his life and his sin that has been written down in 2 Samuel. I want to just catch the end of that, just because, again, I want to show how quickly he repented for what he did, even though there were consequences for that action. The main key is repentance, and I think that's what Wade started with as well. And then I'm going to go through a couple of the Psalms that he wrote because of what he had did in the repentance as well, and to kind of make it a whole. So I'm going to start off in 2 Samuel 12, verse 15, until the end of the chapter, and then I'll go into a couple of the Psalms as well, which will continue the repentance that he did. And it starts off with the Lord struck the child that was conceived with his union with Bathsheba, which was Uriah's widow that was born to David. And he was very sick, and David therefore appealed to God for the child to be healed. And David fasted and went and lay all night on the ground, and elders of the household stood by him at the night to lift him up from the ground, but he was unwilling to get up and would not to eat food with them. Then it happened on the seventh day that the child died. David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, while the child was still alive, he spoke with him, and he wouldn't listen to their voices. Now that the child is dead, since he might harm himself or us. But when David saw that the servants were whispering amongst themselves, he realized the child was dead. So David said to them, is the child dead? And they said, he's dead. And then David went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came back to his own house and went and asked for them to set food in front of him, and he ate. And then the servant said to him, what is this thing that you have done? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but when the child died, you got up and ate food. David said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, and I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me, and the child may live. But now that he's dead, why should I continue fasting? Can I bring him back? I will go to him when I die, but he will not return to me. So you can see how he changed after his petition wasn't heard, that when the child had died, and that was one of the consequences, that he basically went and worshiped, which is repentance on his part. And as I go into the particular Psalms that I've selected tonight, it'll continue to focus in on what he did as far as the repentance piece. I'm going to start off with Psalm 32, and this is what it says. Blessed and fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the whole whose transgressions is forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man the Lord does not impute wickedness, and in those he does not have a spirit of deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away, though my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand of displeasure was heavy upon me. My energy, vitality, and strength was drained away as with the burning heat of summer. And there's Selah there, which means pause, and calmly think of that. I acknowledged my sin to you and did not hide my wickedness. I said, I will confess all my transgressions to the Lord and forgive my guilt, and you forgave my sin and guilt. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you for forgiveness in the time when you will hear and be found. Surely when the great waters of trial and distressing times overflow, they will not reach my spirit. You are my hiding place. You, O Lord, protect me from my trouble. You surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you to teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you who are willing to learn with my eyes upon you. And this is Psalm 51, which is along that same line as the previous. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your greatness, according to your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness and guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. For I am conscious of my transgressions, and I acknowledge them. My sin is always before me. Against you, and only you, I have sinned, and I have done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak your sentence and faultless in your judgment. I was brought forth in the state of wickedness. In my sin, my mother conceived me, and from the beginning I too was sinful. Behold, you desire the truth in the innermost being. In the hidden parts of my heart you will make me known, and you will give me wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear in joy of gladness, and be satisfied. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide not your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renewed and right steadfast spirit within me. I do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take away your Holy Spirit from me, which is interesting. The Holy Spirit hadn't been given, but he had the Holy Spirit. Restore in me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with the willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted and returned to you. Rescue me from the blood guiltless, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will sing joyful to your righteousness and your justice. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth will declare your praises. For you do not delight in sacrifice, or else I would give it. You're not pleased with burnt offerings. My only sacrifice, acceptance to God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, a broken and sorrow for sin throughout, though thoroughly repentant, such, O God, you will not despise that. And as we continue to think about David is a type of Yeshua in his makeup. Even though he sinned, he is not Yeshua, but he is a type. But we want to remember Yeshua now, as he gave himself as a sacrifice to take care of all the sins in the past of our lives, and all the sins in the future of our lives, and everybody on the planet that decide to accept Yeshua as their Savior. And that's the key, is the acceptance, and know that you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as we remember his broken body and his shed blood, just kind of take a moment and think what these elements represent to you. For me, it's wholeness and forgiveness of sins. That's the two things in simple language that I think of when I partake of the Lord's communion, his common union with us. So go ahead and partake of the body and the shed blood now. I'll go ahead and hand it back to you. There you go.
Thank you, sir. I'm maneuvering around in the car, getting over to the computer to unmute myself. Powerful. It all ties in today. We need to be in a place of continued repentance with thanksgiving. And David was a man after God's own heart that did that. I'm going to make some declarations and decrees. I want us to all come in agreement with it. Then I'm going to call just a few people to pray. And, you know, that we could be in a place of closing and not allowing the enemy. So, Father, I come to you in the name of Yeshua, by the blood of Yeshua and the word of God. The word that you've written for us to be the standard and guideline for everything in life and pertaining to life and godliness. And Lord, Matt Fraser had a powerful word that he wanted me to pass on. And Lord, I come into agreement with that word. Where two agree is touching anything, ask of the Father that is in heaven to be given unto them. And Lord, I make a declaration and decree right now that we are closing doors, pathways, portals, and we're canceling the effect of any actions, deeds, associations, books, TV, cell phone, the effects thereof, any open heaven, which is, our heaven is open, and the enemy can't come through there, and I know that, but anywhere that anyone has made an alignment and agreement with the enemy through their words, like Sharon says so often, you know, we need to be careful. We cancel those assignments. We call upon you, Lord God, to put up a mighty hedge, to call upon the host, ministering warring angels, and most of all, seal it with the blood that cancels everything out. The enemy cannot do anything, and there's a teaching that's called But God, and But cancels everything that's said before it. So, But God. The enemy cancels every doorway, every pathway, every portal. I plead, appropriate the name, the authority, and the blood from the core of every atom outward, the seed of every cell, the mitochondria, that's called the furnace of life, and every living thing, every inanimate object, our cats, our dogs, our pets, our horses, I don't care if you got elephants, whatever it is that could be a pathway for the enemy to come in. Lord, we bind, blind, make deaf, dumb, mute, every power, principality, ruler, wickedness, out of body, spirit, for the Lord rebuke you. And Lord, I ask for peace and rest in the midst of the storm. And all of us that have been in warfare and under attack, we cancel that association authority of agreement. That was the first sin. You saw it was on the calendar this month. Sharon and April talk about it all the time. The first sin was not eating of the apple. The first sin was coming to agreement with Lucifer. So, Lord, we cancel these assignments against us. We call for the host. We call for the angels. We call for the order of Melchizedek. We call for the blood. And the right that we have as sons and daughters to be free. And I thank you for that. We seal it with that communion, common union with you. And in the name of Yeshua, for the Lord rebuke you, Lucifer, you and yours. And the doors are now closed. You have no place. And we rebuke you from the core outward, from the center of everything outward, our homes, our vehicles, our properties, our animals, ourselves, our children, and all of our relatives, even our work, in the name of Yeshua. And I thank you for that. Steve, you know, you are the one that's up the latest, and I try to call on you first every time. Have you got something along that line that the Lord has put on your heart from what we've been talking about tonight that you would like to close with, prayer, pray, decree, declare? Whatever you got, my brother, bring it.
Thank you, Wade. I just can't affirm enough what has been said here tonight and how that has resonated and is what the Lord has told me to bring in my ministry here in Brazil. But I want to bring a word, and I'm going to pray about this over us. But when we close the door, we need to make sure that we are clean. Someone had mentioned, maybe it was you, Wade, somebody had mentioned that we need to live in repentance. We need to have a lifestyle of repentance. And sometimes we live with the misconception or the deception from the enemy that we can hide things in our hearts and God will not see it. Bad attitudes, unforgiveness, lustful thoughts or angry thoughts or all kinds of things that we hide away in our hearts, and we think that that because we put it in this little cubby hole, God's not going to see it. But before we close those doors, we need to make sure that we're clean. And the word that the Lord gave me for us tonight is from Hebrews chapter 4. You're familiar with this. Verse 12 and 13 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." Verse 13 is the key here. "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable." Father, I want to pray for myself. And I want to pray for each one on this call. And I want to pray for each one that listens in on this call at a later time. And Lord, I want to ask Holy Spirit that you would deal with us ruthlessly, so that we will be pure and undefiled and washed by the blood, the example of David, who could not hide his sin any longer. And Lord, forgive us where we have thought that we could hide away sin and attitudes and desires in our hearts and you wouldn't see. But as your word points out to us, and we often don't get to that part of those verses, everything is naked and exposed before your eyes. There is nothing you don't see. And so, Lord, we bring tonight those things that we've hidden away in our hearts that you see and we thought you didn't see. We ask you to forgive us for that deception that we listened to. And we ask you to cleanse us from those things that we've hidden there. And we ask, Lord, that you would wash us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to, and we want to be clean vessels in your service, in your hands in these days. We have to be clean and righteous and walk in righteousness, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you that everything that you've pointed out to us that you see, we want to ask your forgiveness. We want to wash in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we shut the door on those things. And they are no longer a part of our lifestyle, our thoughts, our intentions, our memories. And we pray it all in the name of Yeshua, our Redeemer and our Savior. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, sir. Wow. Powerful, powerful. Next week, Steve is bringing the primary message, everybody, so be sure to tie in next week. It's a good one. We're blessed. There's somebody that we don't get often on here because of his duties and other things that running around he does, and that's Dave Mook. And, David, I want to welcome you. My brother, it's always glad to see or hear from you. And is there a prayer? I know you from the time you've been on the call, because I know exactly when you came in. I mean, you caught the last of it, and that's fine. But we were praying about shutting the portals, about closing the doors for the enemy, because we'd been given a word through one of our dear brothers that the Lord said, close doors right now. Don't let the enemy come in. He's bringing his hordes to try to bring down a shutdown during this time and going into this eclipse and the days ahead. Is there a prayer or something the Lord had already put on your heart or mind or a word that you had before you came on tonight, or something the Lord's put on your heart since that you'd like to share with us real quick? And I know that's a mouthful, Dave, but, you know. And if you're muted, you got yourself muted. We don't have you muted.
Yep, no, we got you.
There we go.
I appreciate you acknowledging me this evening, sir. As always, I always recommend keeping that portal, you know, as close to closed as one can. One never knows who's on the other side and how quickly it needs to be closed. The business that I've been in, and I know you know of, that's kind of always the way we have to be. as we learned today, our friend P. Diddy already knew where he could go to escape for from being extradited. So they always have a plan. They always have a plan. And we have to have a plan. And our plan has to be that we trust in our Lord, we trust in our faith, we trust in Yeshua, and we trust in you, Wade, because you bring us the message every month in that calendar. You bring us this prayer call every Monday. And you give us the knowledge, the wisdom, and the strength to carry through. And that's the most important thing that we can have. It opens our eyes, it opens our hearts, and it opens our minds. And for that, we say thank you. God bless. I yield.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Robert, is there anything the Lord's given you for tonight?
Good evening, all. Actually, no. I'm drinking this all in. This is a whole... It's an area that God hasn't called me to, this spiritual warfare in this way. I find it kind of foreign to where God has placed my attention. So I just agree with all in prayer for the closing of these doors. I just rest in the confidence that we're hid in Christ, that we live by his righteousness, that the sins of the past are washed away as far as the east is from the west, and that he calls us to live a new life, renewing our mind, renewing our spirit, walking after the Spirit. And I look towards the heavens. I look towards the faithfulness of our God to deliver us in this time. And I say these things and pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. John Underwood, is the Lord giving you a prayer about what we've said tonight and what we've been praying, or a direction? And John, you are muted. I don't know if it's you. Let me go over here and click. All right, now you're unmuted.
Okay. So, yeah, like Robert, it's a little bit out of scope for me. So I could say a prayer, but it wouldn't be necessarily directly about what you've been talking about.
That's all right.
You want me to go ahead and pray?
Whatever the Lord gave you, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, Lord, we just praise your name. Thank you, Lord, that in spite of the fact that the wicked are desperate, trying to survive, that you have won the victory in spite of it all. And so, Lord, we stand in faith for President Trump and his family, that you'll protect them and be with them, give them supernatural wisdom from heaven, and guide their every step, Lord. We just thank you for them and their willingness to stand and fight for this nation and for you, Lord, on your behalf. So, Lord, we just commit them all to you now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it. Bear with me, folks. There we go. Mel, I know you've been gone because you've had so much work to do. Is there a prayer you want to bring tonight?
Yeah, wait. It doesn't. Yes. Yes, I do. Lord, I want to thank you that I'm back on this call. I want to thank you for these brothers and sisters that get on this call every week. They bring such good messages, strong messages, messages that talk from my heart. I know that they speak what's on their hearts. But it hits my heart every time I listen to what they have to say. And I learn so much from their leadership. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that you've given me this opportunity and connected me with these people. And Father, you know, for so long, we have prayed. We have prayed for breakthrough. We've prayed for our destinies and what you, we know that you want better for us and what we've been able to have. And we've seen it, you know, it's ranged from health issues, financial issues, to what we see is going on in the world today. And it takes so much time, but you've put everything in place. We can see it now. We're grateful for it. We know we get impatient, but that's part of our lives. That's just kind of the way we are. It's difficult to wait, but we've waited, and we've prayed, and we've stood by you. And so, Father, I just want to give you thanks for the breakthrough that we're seeing, for the obstacles that are being overcome, and for your grace and your mercy upon us all. I thank you so much, Father, for all you're doing for all mankind on this earth, and especially our country and our brothers and sisters on this call. I pray through Yeshua, our Savior, because he is what it's all about. He is the way we are to go. He is the reason we can do what we can do. He is our light in the future. He is the way. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Sharon, do you have something you want to decree, declare, pray, and then close us out for this evening, if you will?
Wow. I was like, Lord, if you want me to say this, you're going to have to call me. Wow. What a night. Like Mel said, I mean, I ate it. I drank it. Like anybody else on this call, I first want to say that I remember those very words uttered by a man I had never heard or met before, never heard before, never met before. And John Underwood was sitting here at the table for dinner and said, "You want me to go on the call and you can listen?" And he'd been asking me for I don't know how many years. You need to think about getting on the call. And I'm like, oh, I got so much going on. John, I don't have time. And when I do something, I try to give the best of me to it. Not a part of me, but the whole of me. And I remember the word, Sharon, do you have anything the Lord dropped in your spirit or you want to share tonight? And I went, oh my gosh, what? No way. You're asking me? I'm Sharon, Cape Reader. You don't know me. I was so used to being underneath the heel of the leadership and that I was like, well, which thing do you want me to share, Lord? And you said, I need to talk to you. And I thought, well, I'm in trouble. Oh, well. And I wasn't in trouble. I was acknowledged for what the Lord gave me. And tonight, as I am being thankful for you, Wade, as David said so wonderfully, thank you for you. And I just asked the Lord, do you have anything you want to say? And he said one word, Goshen. And that's all I have to say, Goshen. So I speak it out, Lord, Goshen. And Goshen over our animals, Goshen over our family, Goshen over our finances, Goshen over our property, Goshen over our ministries, Goshen over our relationships, Goshen over our physical health. I claim Goshen.
Glory.
In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach.
That's a good one. You folks, you can tie it into so many scriptures. Psalm 91, you can cry it into, you know, the Lord's protection under his wings, the blessings. Many are saying right now to get ready for false flags and other things. And I think Johnny Inlow had the best attitude. Before everybody left Egypt, God blessed them. They'd come out of Goshen and they were ready. Okay. So I'll go with Goshen. You know.
Said, call my favor down.
Yep.
So we call down your favor over your children who have laid down their lives to live for you to the best of their abilities, Lord. I speak, Father, your favor over this word Goshen that you have given me to speak. And I'm honored, Lord, to be a part of this prayer. This prayer group, this powerful ministry that goes out over the land. We don't even know where all it lands or it ends up. But for everybody that is listening in, for everybody that is listening in later, all of this is anointed. And I feel the Lord telling me to share this. When we were taking communion, John was talking about the blood. As I partook, I saw in an instant that my arms were going through how somebody puts a garment over your head. All I saw was arms, and I'm like, what is that? And he said, I'm clothing you in my blood. And it was he was adorning me in his blood. And I was like, whoa, okay. So I was putting the blood on like you would put on a garment. So thank you, Lord. That's powerful. And if you are for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Lord, you said that you watch over your word to perform your word. And there's a lot of word tonight for you to watch over to perform. And we thank you that while we're yet calling, you've already answered. And there's so many testimonies of your goodness. And your goodness never ends. Beside those beautiful still waters, you lead us, and you let us lie down in the greenest pastures, and you restore our souls. So, Lord, I know that there's a lot of people that are probably big question mark, what's going on, what's going to happen, what, you know, what's the end game? But God, as it was said earlier, but God, you already know. And you said to heed the word of the prophet. So we heed the word of the prophet, and we do come into agreement with all that was spoken tonight, and we do close ourselves in with you. We tabernacle with you as we are in Goshen. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for your presence, because we know for a fact we were gathered here in your name, and you were right in the midst of us. We give you praise. We give you praise. And we love you so much. And in your name, Yeshua, we say, let it be so.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank everybody for being here. Next week, you got Steve Lufstra. And they don't know it yet. They're just going to hit right this minute. I'm going to ask Bruce and Linda to open. They're going to take my place, Bruce, if you will, next week. I'll be around, but I would like for you to consider that. We'll talk about it. We're going to get blessed by what the Lord has to say and what he's going to do. And then this was a wonderful month. It had five Mondays in it. Sharon and April will be closing the primary guest, you know, speakers for the following week as we go into Nisan, as we go into the month of Passover, and the mighty things the Lord has done. And they're going to be speaking on this April 8th. And they know that they don't have to speak what's written. They can bring whatever the Lord says to them. But I know it's going to be power. So the next couple weeks, every week's powerful, but the next couple weeks I think it's going to be increased power, increased might, increased prayer of what God is doing. So come back, bring some family, bring some friends, invite some folks. People need to hear the message of repentance and the freedom and victory that we have in him. Blessings to all. May the Lord watch over you and keep you. We stop the recording now, and we look forward to seeing and speaking to every one of you again soon. Blessings and good night.